What size were these snakes?
Oh, 6 or 7 foot. Cobras. Big grass snakes as well. Then there was the croit, that was the worst of the lot. The little thing, diamondback thing. Most deadly snake there is, I think, in India.
Was anyone in your regiment ever bitten by one of
We've had
snakes?
A couple of chaps bitten, yes. Oh, yes. Were sent to in the straight to a hospital, and they, of course, they cut them then with a razor blade and Robin Pot Mang. That's the initial thing.
Were they successful?
Oh, yes, yes. Got over it. Of course, the main thing, the dangerous thing there was hydrophobia. And any dog, the least sign, it was straight away big hoo-ha about it, and the chap, the owner, was sent to Kasauli. And Kasauli was the place where specialists and whatnot for hydrophobia were there.
Did people have their own pet dogs, or were these dogs that were just running around?
No, they had pet dogs, but there were quite a number of pyards. What they call pyards used to come into the barracks and one thing or another. Native dogs. And they were half jackal and half dog sort of thing. They'd come scavenging round.
What about the other animals? The lizards?
Oh, quite a number of big lizards. What they call goannas.
What were they like?
Oh, massive lizards. Which catch them and cut the skins up and make belts and things from.
And how big were they?
Oh, a big goanna would be about a couple of 3 foot long, like that.
Were they poisonous?
Some were, yes, yes. They, and some weren't. They had a forked tongue and it would dart out. And then, of course, there was a lizard walking around your ceilings in the house. And you can get a nasty burn from them, blisters. My wife had on the back of her hand a big blister, burn. A lizard had peed and right on the back of her hand. And wonder what the devil it was. It was lizard. But they were otherwise, they were harmless things. You'd take no notice of them. They'd walk around the ceiling. You'd leave them because they used to catch mosquitoes, you see.
Yes, I always think of there being a great lot of insects in India.
Oh, yes, it is. I mean, they'd start, as soon as it got a bit dark, the old bullfrogs would start croaking and crickets and all sorts of noises, weird noises. It was only insects. And then in the distance you'd hear the cry of a jackal. And they'd get nearer as the pack got a bit nearer. But you took it all in your stride. It was a sort of natural thing.
What did you do about the mosquitoes?
Oh, mosquitoes are a damn nuisance. We used to have mosquito nets over your bed. Make sure there's not a mosquito in there when you got in. And rub yourself with citronella oil. It used to stink awful. But to keep them away. I know on the chaps coming off guard in the morning, on guard duty, of course they couldn't, they had to stop outside on sentry go and one thing, and they'd come in and smack in the back of the neck and they'd be bitten to hell. And they used to stink like hell with this citronella oil. But the only thing to do. I did have malaria. Earlier on in India, and but it didn't reoccur, thank goodness. Some people get it for years afterwards.
Was there something you could do about it as a precaution?
Oh yes, you had plenty of quinine and mepocrine tablets and things like that. As a matter of fact, daily you had quinine.
There's the flying insects. What about the crawling insects?
Centipedes. Centipedes, as big centipedes, as longer than glasses. about 2 or 3 inches long. They had a couple of dozen pairs of legs, you know. You see them. And spiders, tarantula spiders, massive spiders. My wife used to get scared stiff when she first went to India because of these things, but you got used to it. And one occasion in, I think it was Solan, in the Simla Hills, one day she went out onto the veranda and run in and shut the door, and there was a massive big grass snake there, just under the wall.
Are they poisonous?
Not the grass snakes, no, no.
Just frightening.
Yes.
Your children were born in India.
My son was born in Raniket. My second daughter, I think, Kasoli. Two of them were born in India, yes.
Well, you must have to be very careful with little children, with the snakes and the insects.
Oh, yes, yes. But they didn't come to no harm.
Even worse than the various creatures, I should think, might be the sun.
Oh, yes, you daren't walk around with no topi on in the daytime. I must say the sun was terrific. At one time we wore spine helmets, pads as well, down the back of your neck. Because the sun catches you right at the back. And
why were the spine pads discontinued?
I don't know, really, why. We wore them for quite a period. I can't just remember when they packed in wearing them, but they all wore spine pads. I know they were kind of padded. And they reach under your topi, right down the back of the neck.
Of course, that would make you very hot and uncomfortable.
Oh, you would get very sweaty with them, yes, yes. I see a pal of mine go down with sunstroke, and I would thought, I hope to get it, I never get it.
Well, what happens to you?
He just flaked out. He went a bit cracked afterwards, you see. It changed his mind, I'm sure of that. They call it Dulali Tap.
Does that mean he was sent to the hospital at Dulali?
Yes, that's where they went to Dulali, yes.
Did this mean that you couldn't go out in the middle of the day and had to do all your marching
and
parades?
The early morning parade, and everything finished by midday. And from midday onwards, it was in bed or out of barracks. That was the general rule. Most of the chaps used to go to bed in the afternoon and then come out in the evening time and play cricket or football, hockey, anything like that. No, the afternoons were absolutely taboo.
Were there any people who just couldn't stand it in India?
Oh, quite a number. Oh, yes. Some people want them to get out there. Wish they would back home and sort of moaning general. But I don't know, it was not that bad. It was quite good as far as I was concerned. It was a good life.
How difficult was it to get used to having all those people about taking care of you instead of doing things for yourself?
Oh, no, you mean, did you find a difference when you didn't have these servants afterwards? Oh, definitely, yes. Made you feel idle. I mean, say, the first thing in the morning, the old Joe, my bearer, had come with his early morning tea. And then some cheap chaps used to get shaved in bed. Even the nappy would come and he'd lather them up and shave them before they got out of bed in the morning. I didn't like that, though. And then in the sergeant's mess we had bearers, waiters, and things like that. Now, my wife had a consimer, being a cook, and a chokra, who was chokra was a boy for running errands and things and all that. And she used to do them all, except just tidy up the bungalow or tent, whatever you'd like it to be. And the fine life, enjoyed it very much. And we had dances, the sergeant's mess dances, and gymkhanas and things like that.
Did any of the servants try to take advantage of the British troops?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes. I would say they go down to the bazaar to get something or other and come back and say, so much. And my wife got wide to it in no time anyway, and always give them half of what they charge. And I remember one occasion, the pork waller. She bought some pork or something, and this is from an authorised dealer in pork. Now, she took it up to the Shamsuddin's shop. She wasn't satisfied about the weight. She plonked it on his scales, and he immediately went up in the air and cursed her in Hindustani and slung the scales across the room, out of the shop. And she says, "What's the matter with you then?" And apparently he was a Mohammedan or a Hindu or something, and this pork was dead against his religion, filthy stuff, wouldn't touch it, their religion, you see. When she said to me, she said, "I don't know what's wrong." She said, "I've seen old Shamsuddin, he's gone in the air, about me putting on the pork on his scale." I said, "Well," he said, "I'm a Mohammedan, you shouldn't do that."
That ruined his scales
then. Yeah.
Was there anything you could do when you found that you were getting short weight on pork or when they were charging too much?
Oh, yes, they send it any complaints to the PRI and he'd deal with them all right. They'd fine mostly, any of the wallers, the pork wallers or the vegetable wallers, were all sorts of wallers coming round. And they all had to have a pass signed by the PRI and the price lists, and if any overcharging, he dealt with it, see.
How did you communicate with them? In their language or in yours?
Half and half, really. At one time I could bolo the bat fairly decently, but of course it's gone now. And you soon pick up the odd bazaar, what they call the bazaar bat, rough Hindustani, half English, half Hindustani. And although a lot of the natives, rather surprising, could speak English, although they were ignorant. I suppose the years they spent in the cantonments and one thing or another.
Were there any sort of lectures or programs that you and your wife could go to learn a bit about India, for instance, so that your wife would understand about the pork?
No, nothing. No. No, any new arrivals soon picked it up because the old hands in the married quarters and one thing or another, I shouldn't put them right.
Must have made quite a difference coming back to India married. Would have had different living conditions entirely.
Oh, yes. You see, before I lived in, had all my meals in the sergeant's mess and the consarma there, and the cook and mess bearers, and of course when you start on your own, you get married, you finish with that, you buy your own grub and everything else. There were quite a number of married sergeants and other ranks there though, and the quarters were quite good.
Was there a limit to the number who could be married?
Yes, yes. I think the battalion, I just forget what the strength of the battalion was. Married quarters, I think it was about 20 or 30. About 30 at the limit.
So you must have had to get permission.
Oh, you had to get permission, oh yes. You had to be 26 before you could get married. And then get permission. I know I was on leave in England and as a sergeant in 1931. So I decided to get married and I wrote in for permission, it come back again. And they arranged a passage from the War Office then, you see.
Was it an advantage to be married?
I think so, yes. I think so. Well, in them days, as a single member of the sergeant's mess, I was rather wild. And you had nothing to do of an evening, bar, get boozed and one thing or another. And you'd think nothing going at mess at 6 o'clock and leaving at 11 and do nothing but lifting your arm all the time. And we had billiard table and bagatelle and play cards, one thing or another. But at the same time, at the next morning, you up on parade early, about 6 o'clock, whether you'd had a skinful or not the overnight. No, it was a hard life, really.
Well, it sounds like it would probably be better to be unmarried then.
No,
if you
no.
were married, you really couldn't spend the whole evening.
No, no, you would. I mean, say, once you got married, it was it changed your attitude on life entirely. I mean, say, you wouldn't stop in the mess all night, although one or two used to try it, but didn't get any luck. No, it steadied me down considerably, that did.
While you were there, did they still have the official brothels for the unmarried men?
Oh, yes, 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 in the bazaars.
No, I mean the official ones that the government looked after.
Yes, there was. The only one I remember, the government one, was controlled by the medical officer, and that was at Ranikhet. That's the only place I can recollect it. I'll tell you why I recollect this. From our bungalow, we could see right down the Cud side. And my wife says to me one day, what's all the men keep going to them bungalow, them that huts for? So I'd tell her.
What did she think of that?
Not much.
Oh, presumably the purpose was to prevent venereal disease.
It is, yes, yes, because they're inspected by the medical officer and... We didn't have many cases of VD, though, not in the regiment. Not from sand rats, what are called sand rats, outside. I think the chili crackers were the worst for that sort of thing. That was chili crackers being the Eurasians, half English, half Indians. They had a club of their own in Merritt. We used to call it the Chili Crackers Club. And we used to attend there, you know, play billiards there and snooker and... go to dances, one thing or another. And some of their Eurasian girls were quite good lookers, although, you know, half caste. And the incidence of VD come more from them than any natives.
Were there any European women that the unmarried men could see socially? I don't mean prostitutes necessarily, but just
no,
women.
No, no, none at all. No. No.
So was that sort of social life of perhaps tennis parties or something limited only to officers?
Oh, no, no. No, the sergeants used to have dances, give dances.
Were with Asian women then?
No, no. To other messes, invite other messes. Like in Merritt, there was the Dorsets. There was the 4th Hussars. There was 28th Field Brigade, RA. There was I Battery, RHA. They all had their own sergeant's messes, you see, and their own married quarters. and they used to invite each other to their dances. And quite good shows, actually. And the regimental dance band. Every week you would go to a dance anyway. I know my wife used to go up to Lahore for a hairdo and come back, and but she rather enjoyed the dances.
Must have been rather a small number of women, though.
In comparison?
Well, if there were only 20 married families.
Yes, oh yes, not a great number of women, no.
Though there were, of course, English people living in India who were not in the army.
Yes, but very few.
Civil servants and so on.
Very few. They used to work on the railway. And most of them belonged to the Chilaki Club, which I just mentioned. I don't know, for some reason or other, they weren't invited to the British messes. I can't understand why. We used to go to their club, but they'd never get invited back to our mess.
Do you think that had to do with some form of snobbery?
I think it was a bit snobbish, yes. You see, there's a big thing that I noticed about India was the Eurasian was looked down upon by the English and by the native. He was neither one or the other. Some of the girls there was real smashing looking, and their father was probably a lance corporal in some regiment or other, who'd got married to some native woman, and so it went on. But they were, I don't know, they were a community on their own. No, I can't recollect one case of ever Eurasian being invited to the mess. And of course, the natives, the pure Indians, they detested them as well, had no time for them. They're sort of 50-50.
Were Indians ever invited to the mess? I don't mean the man in the street, but members of the Indian Army, perhaps.
No. The only time I remember was Landikotal on the Northwest Frontier. And we were invited by the Gurkhas Science Mess to a do. They gave us a do at their place. And they produced this shrab, which is native beer, and gives a fine time. The Gurkhas had the dancing girls on and one thing and another. And they're real good do, and they're fine chaps, the Gurkhas. Although they're as black as puddings, you know, they're little short blokes. They're fine men. Anyway, we had a mess meeting afterward, and it was proposed, I think I proposed it, and seconded by my pal, that we'd invite the Gurkhas to our mess, which we did. And you know, not one of them Gurkhas got tight, although they knocking back the beer, not one. And they're perfect, well-mannered, everything. They were fine chaps altogether. That's the only time we ever had any native troops in there. Well, you used to play football against different regiments, the Rajputs and things in Meerut. But you would not mix, not in socially with them.
Did you ever have any training or manoeuvres with the Indian Army?
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember at Roorkee, the Bengal Lancers, the Rajput Regiment, the Gurkhas, all in the same brigade as us, you see. And then at Landikotal again, the Gurkhas was in the next camp to us. Sikhs, they're some smart chaps, Sikh regiments. Mind you, the Indian Army, in my opinion, was a damn good thing to be in. If he was there was all British officers in the Indian Army, mostly British officers in the Indian Army. And they had a fine time. And the Indian Army general is good, no doubt about it.
What was the feeling, the relationship between the British Army and the Indian Army?
Quite good. Oh, yes.
You were telling me how socially the Indians and Eurasians were looked down on. Was the Indian Army looked down on as a military unit?
No, definitely not. No, no, no.
Did you ever see them in action?
Only on the frontier, northwest frontier, the Gurkhas, that was all. But on parades and ceremonial occasions, they were very smart and I don't think there's they had much trouble with them, neither. The discipline was good. Of course, the reason being, I think, was because chaps in the Indian Army are born to it all their lives. The Rajputs and the Sikhs and the Gurkhas. From boys, they joined the army and they brought up.
What do you think was the general quality of leadership in the British Army in India? Did you get some of the people who maybe couldn't make it at home and so they were sent there?
I think so.
Did they give you the first-rate ones?
I think so. I think, personally, I think a lot of the officers were sent there to get them out of the way. On the other hand, they had to keep the strength of the unit up, so the home battalion used to feed the battalion abroad. You see, the 2nd Battalion was in England, and they'd come from the 2nd to the 1st, and when they'd change over, sort of thing, after so many years. But my opinion, in a lot of cases, in them days, this was that they were sent out there to get them out the road. Yes. It appeared that.
What kind of men would that be?
Well, we had some good officers and quite a number of bad ones. Now, the best officers were those that had been through the ranks, rankers, undoubtedly, with a couple of exceptions.
Of course, they may not have had an opportunity to try themselves since there wasn't actually a war.
No.
But there were a lot of frontier difficulties and civilian difficulties. Do you think the British Army was able to handle them?
Oh, definitely, yes. I mean, say, aid to civil power was a big thing in India. And we very often had to stand to when there was riots or something or other in various places.
What was the situation when you were sent to Bengal?
Oh, Bengal, it was pretty tricky then. The terrorists were on the go. And to start off, we were confined to our camp. That was at the race course at Dhaka. And because there was these terrorists in gangs, generally make themselves a nuisance in Dhaka town and one thing or another, and they were mostly students, Bengali students, and followers of old Gandhi. We had flag marches, what they call flag marches, showing the flag, marching round through various villages and one thing or another.
So what was your job?
At that time, I was in the audio room at that time.
Yes, but what was the army's job in relationship?
Just to let the inhabitants see that the British were there, sort of thing, in case of any, and put down any trouble, and assist the civil police.